Three, four. We're going to be reading from Genesis 22, from verses 1 to 18. And if you need to get my attention, you can always chat. Norma's monitoring the chat. So that's one way that you can get our attention if you need to. But we're going to be reading from Genesis 22. And it's an account that I'm sure as we begin to read it, most of you, if not all of you, are going to be very familiar about this account. So Genesis 22, and I'm going to read from verses 1 to 18. Now it came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham. And he said, here I am. Now he said, take now your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his donkey and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son. And he split the wood for the burnt offerings and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said to his young men, stay here with the donkey. The lad and I will go yonder and worship, and we will come back to you. So Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and the two of them went together. But Isaac spoke to Abraham his father and said, my father. And he said, here I am, my son. Then he said, look, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? And Abraham said, my son, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering. So the two of them went together. Then they came to the place of which God had told him. And Abraham built an altar there and placed the wood in order, and he bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here I am. And he said, do not lay your hand on the lad or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. Then Abraham lifted his eyes and looked, and there behind him was a ram caught in the thicket by its horns. So Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up for a burnt offering instead of his son. But Abraham called the name of the place, the Lord will provide. As it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord, it shall be provided. Let us pray. Father, as we open your word, we pray that you would just speak to our hearts, and may all of our words and our thoughts be pleasing in your sight. In Jesus' name, amen. Mm-hmm. Abraham called the place, the Lord will provide. Or Yahweh Jireh, or Jehovah Jireh, the Lord who sees, the Lord who provides. We are in a month, the month of March, which has changed everything. It is one of those times that we are going to look back on for the rest of our lives, whether those lives be short or long. Life has changed as we know it. The pace and the amount of change all at one time has left people mostly dismayed. Even the church, if we are honest, is reeling from what has happened. People's lives have been totally disrupted. The sense of normality and of security has been lost. Many do not know where their next paycheck is going to come from. And many are trying to work through the reality of the daily announcements of financial help from the government. Thank the Lord if you are not one of those yet. The welfare state is facing a strain like never before. For those of us who still have a regular income, it often means that you are on the front line and exposed to a little understood virus. Finally, in many ways, the true heroes of our society are being recognized, especially the NHS and those in care employment. We have in our church, here in Lowestoft and Great Yarmouth, many who remain on the front line today. And I want to urge everybody to continue to lift them up in prayer. Even our retirees, who seemingly have a steady retirement income, have seen their lives totally disrupted. They are told repeatedly, day after day, that those over 70 are most in danger from this virus, and many must now isolate for 12 weeks. The daily death toll in the UK and the daily rate of new infections continues to rise at an alarming rate. The medical experts have told us that over the next weeks, that will continue before it gets better. When we eventually get through COVID-19, we will have to see what normal life is. It would seem it has been changed. But Jesus says, in the world, you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer or have peace, because I have overcome the world. For the followers of Jesus, it would seem that there is an opportunity for us to minister to others, to our families, to our friends, to our neighbours, to our community, in a real and tangible way. COVID-19 is making us re-examine our approach to church and our approach to evangelism. We all know the words of Mrs. White: Christ's methods alone will give true success in reaching the people. The Saviour mingled with men as one who desired their good. He showed his sympathy for them, ministered to their needs, and won their confidence. But we must ask now, how do we apply that in this situation, at this time, given what we all find ourselves in? You've heard me say many times that the main things are the plain things, and the plain things are the main things when it comes to our faith in God. It would seem to me that that rings especially true at this time. In the midst of COVID-19, the gospel, the good news, is more important message than ever before. We dare not lose sight of that. As disciples, and as a church. And the gospel is at the heart of Genesis 22 that we just read. In Genesis 22, we find Abraham, an old man, well over 100 years old, but full of years and full of faith. As we begin to read chapter 22, we find that yet again, not for the first time, yet again, the Lord is calling Abraham to make a journey, another journey. This time with his beloved son, Isaac. We read in verse 2, "Then he said, take now your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you." Go, Abraham, go. Go to the mountain that I will show you. Take your son, your only son, the son of the promise, the son you had to wait so long for with Sarah, the son you love, take him and offer him as a burnt offering to me. Abraham's head must have been spinning when he heard the Lord's command. His life changed in an instant as he heard what the Lord wanted him to do. What on earth would he say to his wife, Sarah? And yet the Bible records no debate with God. Think about the time the Lord was on his way to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah and the questioning and the debate that went on there. But this time, the Bible records no debate with God. As one author puts it, faith is not intelligent understanding. Faith is deliberate commitment to a person where I see no way. As Abraham contemplates the journey to come, his mind must have recalled the very first call of God in his life at Haran, many, many years ago, to that first journey that God called him to take in faith. We read about it in Genesis 12. Now the Lord had said to Abraham, "Get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. Abraham, get out. Go on a journey. Leave the security of your family. Leave the security of a way of life. Leave the security of a culture and leave the security of a country." But what a promise. A promise that God would take Abraham to a land that he would show him and that he would make him a great nation. But Abraham, if you want this to happen, you have to give up your whole past and you have to follow me. And now, all these years later, God is calling Abraham once again to go on another journey with him. But this time, it's as if God is saying, give up your future. The first time it was give up your past, this time it's give up your future. Your son, your beloved son, the son of the promise, the very means of becoming a great nation. But God's call is clear. Follow me, Abraham, once again on this next journey of faith. And so we read. So Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his donkey and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son. And he split the wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. There is no delay recorded in the Bible. It says he rose early. Though you have to wonder how any father could get a good night's sleep after that command coming down from God the day before. But he rose early and there was no delay. Many commentators have rightly said that this is the ultimate test of Abraham's faith and his relationship with the Lord. But we cannot see this event in Abraham's life in isolation to all that has gone before. The ultimate test of Abraham's faith is built on the many tests of Abraham's faith that have gone before. Tracing back all the way to that first call, the first test of faith to leave Haran. If Abraham had not obeyed God then, this ultimate test would never have taken place. And if Abraham had not continued to obey God and heed his call, this ultimate test would not have taken place. And here, to me, is a key point. God would not have been able to show Abraham what he wanted to show him on Mount Moriah if Abraham had not been living a life of faith. Abraham would have missed out on a blessing. God says to us, friends, go higher with me. Come, friend, go on the next journey with me. And as we respond in faith, it allows God to show us what he wants to show us. But if we refuse, we miss the blessing and we miss what God wants to show us. We can limit what God can show us by our unwillingness to go higher and go deeper in the faith. I still recall my first management experience at Hewlett-Packard. I was young and I made a lot of mistakes. Now I am older and I am still making a lot of mistakes. I was asked to manage a small team of about 12 people in California. It was during those days when most teams in high-tech companies were still physically located together. How time has changed. We were starting a new software project to replace an older IT system. And I had one lady in the team. She was some years older than me, probably looked at me as green and rookie, which was very true. But she had been involved in putting in that original IT system that we were going to replace. She was a fount of knowledge. She knew everything inside and outside about what we needed to do to get the new system right. So I gave her a prominent role on the team and on the project. The plan was for her to be one of the key people in developing the new system. But soon it started to go wrong, very wrong. She would start missing work for no real good reason. Time after time, excuse after excuse. I would ask her to do this or that, but deadlines were missed time and time again. In the end, we had to take her off every critical task. The key role that she could have and should have played on that project and in the organization never came about. Eventually, unfortunately, we had to let it go. And my sense was of so much potential that was lost. We can limit what God can show us and do in our lives by our unwillingness to go in the faith with the Lord. By the way, I'd just like to say that I recently actually had some contact with that lady. It was over one of the social media. I think it might have even been LinkedIn. And she's actually doing a lot better. And she even seemed to apologize for that whole occasion. Abraham was far from perfect. He messed up. Remember the famine and his detour into Egypt that we read about in Genesis 12? And yet God used that for his glory. But Abraham's life direction was towards the Lord. His heart was inclined towards the Lord. He said, "Here I am," time and time again over the course of his life. And that led to the ultimate test that we are reading about in Genesis 22. It led to the opportunity for God to show Abraham something very, very special. And also for that to be recorded for all of our sakes as well. I'm sure you all know the rest of the account in Genesis 22, and we just read it. It is as if God is acting out a drama in the Bible narrative for Abraham and for our benefit. Abraham and Isaac are the main players, at least at first, but just as we think we are about to see a father slay his son, his beloved son, his very future, suddenly a new player takes center stage. The angel of the Lord. Is this the pre-incarnate Christ? And the angel of the Lord calls out, "Abraham, Abraham." And Abraham says, once again, "Here I am." And God says, once again, "Shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do?" Many times God has to hide from us what he does until we get to the place where he can reveal it to us. But Abraham is ready. And now the Lord can show Abraham something wonderful, something marvelous. For all generations, the true promise, the true means of blessings for all nations. And so we are ready now for the final act in the drama that is Genesis 22. And so the angel of the Lord says, "Do not lay your hand on the lad or do anything to him, for now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. Now, Abraham, let me show you something wonderful. The real substitute for your son. The real substitute for you, Abraham." And so we read, "Then Abraham lifted his eyes and looked, and there behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by its horns. So Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up for a burnt offering instead of his son." The ram is provided and the burnt offering is offered. But this points to even something more. The great substitute for our sin. It is really the pre-incarnate Christ who cries out, "Here I am." And as Hebrews tells us, quoting Psalm 40, "Therefore, when Jesus came into the world, he said, 'Sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you have prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, you had no pleasure.' Then I said, 'Behold, I have come. In the volume of the book, it is written of me to do your will of God. One of those accounts in the volume of the book is what we are reading in Genesis 22. The curtain falls on the drama and concludes with Abraham naming and dedicating the place to the Lord. We read in Genesis 22:14, and Abraham called the name of the place, "The Lord will provide." As it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord, it shall be provided. And some 200 years later, some 2,000 years later, this whole drama would play out again, being truly fulfilled with the death and resurrection of Jesus. The Lord is still today Jehovah Jireh, the Lord who sees, the Lord who provides. We are facing some trying times. Do you believe that we have been brought together for such a time as this? That this outbreak can help us be prepared to share God's love and God's grace in even harder times? Are we willing to take this journey of faith with the Lord? To say, as Abraham said, "Here am I." The Lord sees all, the Lord understands all, and the Lord will provide for his people. But we cannot dictate how that provision will be. Mrs. White, in a well-known quote, says, "Our Heavenly Father has a thousand ways to provide for us of which we know nothing." A thousand ways to provide for us of which we know nothing. Remember, we are not alone, and remember, we are the apple of our Father's eyes. After this event, Abraham would face the death of Sarah, his wife. You get the sense he never fully recovered from that event. His son Isaac would marry, and then finally it says in Genesis 25, this is the sum of the years of Abraham's life which he lived, 175 years, not a bad age. Then Abraham breathed his last and died in a good old age, an old man and full of years, and was gathered to his people. Abraham had learned to have faith in his God. His actions proved the faith he had, faith that works. God was able to take Abraham higher and higher in his experience of God, because Abraham kept saying, "Here I am." I'd like to conclude with one more scripture. It's taken from the Song of Solomon's. "Awake, O north wind, and come, O south, blow upon my garden, that its spices may flow out. Let my beloved come to his garden and eat its pleasant fruits." We need both the cold blast of the north wind and the gentle warmth of the south wind to help us go higher, to go deeper with the Lord and spread abroad the fragrance of Christ to a world that desperately needs it. It certainly feels right now that the north wind is blowing hard. This may only be the start. In fact, we know it's only the start. The Bible tells us that. And yet, what Satan means for poor, God is using for good. Families are being reunited. Families are having to rediscover one another. Communities are having to re-establish one another. We have to admit that in the midst of this, people are having to re-examine their lives and re-examine their priorities. And for us as followers of Jesus, This is an opportunity for us to re-examine ourselves and to also to have the opportunity to witness to others in practical ways, and then where words allow, to certainly give forth our testimony as well. The Lord is calling all of us to our next journey of faith with him. How will we respond? The promise of God is clear. God will take care of you. Be not dismayed, whatever betide. God will take care of you. Beneath his wings of love abide. God will take care of you. God will take care of you through every day, over all the way. He will take care of you. God will take care of you. Amen.
In the days of Abraham, God said, take your chosen son, take him up onto the mountain, bind his hands and lay him there, lay him on the altar. So they climbed up Mount Moriah, took the wood and built a pyre, Isaac looking for a lamb. There is Abraham, trusting God, provider. You will provide, you always do, you always do. You will provide, you never move, you never days that Jesus walked, God gave up his chosen son, gave him up among the sinners, the vile and unbelievers, and laid him at the altar. And now he walks up Calvary's hill, the bread of life, Emmanuel, willing, perfect sacrifice. Lord, what a price for Jehovah Jireh. Days that we are in, he's the same, he is, there is nothing that can shake it, believe it and obey him, lay it on the altar, look and see your troubled one, what God has promised, God has done. Take your burdens, leave them there. Every sickness, every care, on Jehovah Jireh. Yeah. You will provide. You always do. You always do. You will provide. My soul is poor, my mind is tired.